Welcome to the Filmtrepreneur Podcast, episode number 33. You can't fight piracy. All you can do is compete with it. Steve Jobs.
This is the Filmtrepreneur Podcast, where we teach you the top strategies, tactics, and growth hacks that every indie filmmaker needs to know to make money with their films. We are the podcast that puts the business back into show business. And here's your host, Alex Ferrari.
Welcome, welcome to another episode of the Filmtrepreneur Podcast. I am your humble host, Alex Ferrari. Today's show is sponsored by Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, how to turn your independent film into a profitable business. It's harder today than ever before for independent filmmakers to make money with their films, from predatory film distributors ripping them off to huckster film aggregators who prey upon them. The odds are stacked against the indie filmmaker. The old distribution model of making money with your film is broken, and there needs to be a change. The future of independent filmmaking is the entrepreneurial filmmaker or the filmtrepreneur. In Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, I break down how to actually make money with your film projects and show you how to turn your indie film into a profitable business. With case studies examining successes and failures, this book shows you the step-by-step method to turn your passion into a profitable career. If you're making a feature film, series, or any other kind of video content, the Filmtrepreneur method will set you up for success. The book is available in paperback, ebook, and of course, audiobook. If you want to order it, just head over to www.filmbizbook.com. That's filmbizbook.com. Today's show is also sponsored by the Make Your Movie Bootcamp. You want to make a feature film but have no idea where to begin. I feel you because that's exactly where I was when I first got started, but I finally decided to stop talking about making a movie and go out and just do it. After working in the business for over 25 years and working with some of the biggest clients and stars in Hollywood, I decided to finally make my first micro-budget feature film that was self-distributed, sold around the world, and I even got a streaming deal from Hulu. It took me years of hard work to learn from my mistakes and to get where I am today. I want to help filmmakers break through their own fears and show them the secret sauce on how to make a profitable film. The Make Your Movie Bootcamp is a two-day intensive covering on day one, micro-budget filmmaking, and on day two, the Filmtrepreneur method, where you learn how to create revenue from your feature films. We cover everything from fleshing out your idea, the screenwriting process, finding money, crowdfunding, directing your film, post-production workflows, marketing, film deliverables, self-distribution secrets, and how not to get ripped off by predatory film distributors. The bootcamp takes place March 28th and 29th in Burbank, California, and spaces are limited, so act now. Head over to mymbootcamp.com. That's mymbootcamp.com. So guys, today on the show is I'm going to talk about a topic that I have not touched on before, which is illegal piracy and how it is affecting indie filmmakers and indie filmmaking in general. Now, many of you know that my latest film, On the Corner of Ego and Desire, was released yesterday, January 21st. And within hours of its release, my film was pirated around the world. I was, you know, it was kind of weird because I wasn't shocked that that happens because I know that happens to all movies in general, I think. But I didn't think my little film that cost, you know, $3,000 and was so niche about filmmakers trying to sell a movie at Sundance that a pirate would even be interested in something like that. But needless to say, it was pirated everywhere. So that kind of put me down into a rabbit hole. And I'll tell you how I didn't even think about piracy at all. It was just not even on my mind when I released it yesterday because I was just trying to get the movie out there. And I know the tribe has been waiting for it a long time. And I was just focusing on just sharing what I was able to do with such an amazing team that I had that put together in the Corner of Ego and Desire. But as I was checking my analytics for my website, I noticed that there was a search term that showed up. And it was a weird search term that had On the Corner of Ego and Desire for it. It was something I hadn't seen before. So I grabbed that search term and I said, let me just see what it is. And when I clicked that search term in to Google, a list of bootleg sites came up saying that they had access to, or they had my movie. And I said, well, I got to go down the rabbit hole, right? Because that's just who I am. So I started to click on all of these, and literally every single link I found, I wanted to click on to see what the deal was. So this is a few things I learned about what is actually happening with piracy and specifically independent film, because you can expect Avengers and Star Wars and all the big movies to be bootleg because that's, you know, there's a lot of value there. And I understand why bootleggers would take the trouble to do something like that. But why and how are they doing it with independent films and small little movies like mine, which is, you know, as small as it gets. And yet they were, I was bootlegged. It was just still so shocking. It's still a little shocking to me. But this is what I found. When I started clicking around to the sites, there's two groups of sites that I found, two groups of bootleg sites. Now, these sites are all over the world, from China to Korea to Russia and the Middle East. And those are the main areas that I found most of the majority of these sites. A little bit, I think a couple in Europe as well. And what I found is the first group actually has access to my movie. They actually bootlegged my film. And if you use a torrent, you can download it. And some sites are so brazen that they actually play on their websites. I was actually very shocked about this. You can actually go to a site and play the movie on their site, which is mind-boggling to me. How is this even legal? How is this even possible? But it was. And there was a few of those. But the majority of the sites that I found were bogus. They were promising access to my film, but yet when you click on it, it would just open up a new website, which opened up another website and opened up another website. And then sometimes when you clicked on it, it would just spam you with all sorts of spam and ads and things like that. And I realized that as I was going through and doing more research, I found that there is obviously a complete underground black market for not just bootlegs, but there's a support ecosystem for it, meaning that these guys make their money not from selling you the movie or selling you even access to the movie. They're making their money off of ads, off of products that, I don't know, from AT&T and big companies to, you know, less reputable companies, but they're still ads. So what I think happens, and please, anybody in the tribe, please tell me if I'm wrong, but what I think happens is anytime a movie gets released either on Netflix, on Hulu, on iTunes, on Amazon, on Tuesdays when all big movies are released, or at least normal studio movies or distribution, you know, movies that have a distribution company, they have a robot that kind of goes in there and scrapes up all the information from, let's say, iTunes, and then just brings it into their site. And then I actually saw the keywords that they were using. They were just using all sorts of keywords. So anybody that's searching for On the Corner of Ego and Desire, it pops up on Google. Now, why they're doing this, and so again, most of these pirate sites don't actually have the movie. They actually don't, you can't actually see the movie. They're just promising you the movie. And the more you click, the more ads are shown. And that's the game that they're playing. They want to lie to you to like, oh, yeah, if you click here, you're going to be able to get access to this movie. And then you click again and you click again and you go down this rabbit hole. A lot of these sites you actually have to sign up for as a member to a piracy site. What is going on? So as a member of a piracy site, then if you give them your email, forget it. You're just going to get bombarded and they're going to go sell that email that to some other scam artist. And it's just not a good thing. So I kind of discovered this entire world and ecosystem of bootlegging not only the big movies, but us little independent filmmakers. So it got me thinking about the whole piracy conversation. And it's something that I know a lot of filmmakers out there are deathly afraid of. They're afraid of that they put their movie out there, it's going to get pirated. Oh my God, how can I stop it? What am I going to do? All this stuff. And honestly, when VHS and Betamax, the technologies were created, that was kind of the birth of the piracy movement back in the late 70s and early 80s. The second you can make a copy on another medium, the technology allowed you to do that. Then there was bootlegs all over the place, and it went for CDs and tape to tape for music, and eventually DVDs, which is rampant around the world even to this day. DVDs are still being bootlegged in second and third world countries around the world. So, you know, it's kind of weird, but I somebody somewhere is going to bootleg on the corner of Ego and Desire and sell it on a street corner somewhere in Africa or in India or in China. And I'm never going to see a dime from that. But I started to think about the whole concept of piracy. Like, what can you do? And the simple answer is, as an independent filmmaker, you can't do anything. There is nothing that you can do. As I said in the quote at the beginning of the show, you can't fight piracy. All you can do is compete with it. And I would take that a little bit further, is that you can't just compete with it. You could use it to your benefit. Now, I know a lot of you out there going, Alex, you've lost your mind. What are you talking about? How can you benefit from piracy? Well, it all falls back to the filmtrepreneur method, to becoming a filmtrepreneur. If your only revenue stream with your movie is going to be the exploitation or protecting the access to your film, meaning renting, selling, or putting it behind a paywall, if that's the only way you feel that you're going to be able to generate revenue for your film as an independent, I'm not talking about larger mid-level independents or studio movies. I'm talking about us at the bottom, you know, over here in the street, you know, working our way up, independent filmmakers, budgets from zero all the way up to $500,000. If you're expecting, or even $1 million for that matter, if you're expecting to only make your money from a distribution deal or exploitation of your movie, you're not going to make it. It's a very difficult world. I've done multiple podcasts about the new filmmaking, the new film economy, the new world order when it comes in regards to the film economy and how movies are made and how movies are making their money back and so on. The game has changed, and it changed years ago, but a lot of filmmakers are still functioning with the mindset of the 90s and the 80s and 90s and even early 2000s, and those times are dead. The studios figured this out years ago, and that's why most major studios are focusing now on tentpole and event-style films. They're not focusing on the mid-level or, you know, smaller films anymore because it doesn't make sense for them. If they can't sell ancillary product lines and or services from their films, they don't make them. It's as simple as that. That's why they're moving. That's why there's so many remakes, so many reboots, so many in existing IPs or intellectual properties being turned into movies, because that is a safe bet for them where they can sell more books or they can sell more t-shirts or they can sell more hats or whatever other ancillary product lines they have. I've said this before on other shows, but I'll say it again. Disney makes most of its $70 billion, which it did in 2019, most of that $70 billion it made outside of the exploitation of their movies. Their movie Frozen and Frozen 2, which is more than $2.5 billion in box office, was dwarfed by how much money they made off of ancillary products and services, meaning selling all sorts of toys and dresses and all sorts of other ancillary product lines based off that IP, and also using it in their resorts and cruises and that entire ecosystem, which is massive. But they've built that machine, and that is the machine that is Disney. So I actually did a little research seeing about what some of these larger creators and bigger guys, let's say, in the TV world and in the film world had to say about piracy. And I came across this quote from an executive called Jeff Becks, but he's an HBO executive that was involved with Game of Thrones. And I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Game of Thrones has the world record for being the most pirated show of all time. Season 7 of Game of Thrones was pirated over 1 billion times. 1 billion times it was pirated. And this is the quote that the HBO executive said. "We've been dealing with this for 20, 30 years. People have been sharing subscriptions, running wires down the back of the apartment buildings. Our experience is that it leads to more paying subscriptions. I think that you're right that the Game of Thrones is the most pirated show in the world, and that's better than an Emmy." basically they're saying that if it wasn't for the pirates, Game of Thrones would never have been the cultural phenomenon that it was. And the reason that they don't care is because they had ancillary product lines they were selling. They were selling a subscription service to gain access to it. And people were introduced to it for free, but they just got tired and made it, they're like, I don't want to have to go and bootleg and, you know, pirate and get torrents and all these other things to get my show. How much is it? It's 10 bucks a month or 20 bucks or 15 bucks a month, whatever it is. Let me just sign because it's a great show. And it brought in subscribers, not to mention the just millions upon probably billions of dollars in products that Game of Thrones has created over the years. The pirated version of that show became a loss leader. It was basically a huge advertisement for not only the show, but all the other ancillary product lines from the show, as well as paying subscribers for HBO. Now, if you design your film as a marketing lead generator that brings potential customers into your ecosystem of ancillary products and or services, then the pirates are actually helping you distribute your lead generator to the world. If you're relying solely on making money from the exploitation of film, you're going to have a rough time. That is why film distributors right now are having such a tough time generating revenue from the catalogs of their films. They're still thinking like it's 1990 or the early 2000s, and that model is crumbling around us. The devaluation of cinema, of media in general, is happening. It's at a rampant race. And if it isn't that piracy that people expect to watch things for free, then they expect to watch it as part of a subscription plan like Netflix, Hulu, or Amazon Prime. As a great song from Bob Dylan says, the times, they are a-changing. And if you want to survive what's coming, you've kind of got to go the filmtrepreneur route. And it, at the indie level, you have to. It's the only thing that's really going to make sense, even on a financial standpoint. So let's bring it back to On the Corner of Ego and Desire and what's happening with it. So because I used the filmtrepreneur method and I really designed On the Corner of Ego and Desire for my audience, for filmmakers, because that was my goal. If anybody else outside of my audience, the people of filmmakers or screenwriters or people who want to be in the business or understand the business, out of that small niche, that's great. If I find anybody else that likes the film, great. But I'm not too worried about the piracy. In fact, I'm actually embracing it. The more people that see my film, the more people are exposed to Indie Film Hustle, to the podcast, to my books, and to all the other things that I'm doing. Am I happy that people are not paying for my movie? Of course I'm not. But unfortunately, that is the reality that we live in today. Musicians had to deal with this when Napster showed up, and all of a sudden things that used to cost $18 a song to get one song, you had to buy a damn album, now it's free. And they had to scramble. And by the way, they're still scrambling. They're still trying to figure things out as far as the musicians are concerned about how to make money and how to survive as a musician, as an artist in the music industry. We are in a new age of independent filmmaking. And if you want to survive, you need to let go of these old and outdated ideas and embrace this new reality, whether you like it or not. The music industry fought MP3s and lost. Blockbuster fought Netflix and its new ideas on how consumers wanted to watch their films and lost. Again and again throughout history, the old guard almost always fights new technologies, new ideas. Whether they're good, legal, that's honestly an irrelevant conversation. It's a moral conversation, but it's not a relevant one, and it doesn't have any basis in reality of what we're dealing with. The people and companies that are stuck in the status quo will die on the vine. Film distributors will need to change if they expect to survive. Indie filmmakers need to change their mindsets on how indie films are made, marketed, and sold. If not, their filmmaking dreams will be crushed. Now imagine if I would have made this movie for $500,000 and it was a broad spectrum comedy. And the only way I was going to make my money off of this was a distribution deal. Or God forbid, I self-distributed a $500,000 movie with no stars attached or something like that. And I found it on these sites. I would be devastated because it would be the only thing, that would be the only way I can make money with it. But because I made this movie for a very smart number, which was very low, $3,000, which is a crazy number, but I was able to do it for that. Because I was able to do it for such a low budget, and I targeted my niche with laser-like focus, I look at what the pirates are doing as a benefit to me, because that's kind of built into the Filmtrepreneur method. Believe it or not, guys, I think this is an exciting time, and if you're looking forward in what is possible. But if you're looking back and holding on to old ideas, this is a terrifying time. Piracy is here to stay, whether you like it or not. And if I were you guys moving forward, I would use it to your advantage. Make it part of your marketing plan. While the music industry giants were crying and whining about MP3s and, oh my God, what am I going to do? A visionary like Steve Jobs showed up and decided to use the piracy MP3 format to bring Apple back from oblivion. And he did exactly that. Unfortunately, you can't stop piracy. You can compete with it or use it to your advantage. When I write the sequel to A Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, I promise you I will do an entire chapter and case studies on piracy. Because I do know of some stories of filmmakers using piracy sites to market their film, to sell their movie to the pirates, and so on. It's so many stories I know, and I probably will write an entire chapter on it. I'm not writing that book right now, by the way. Don't think I am. I have another book I'm writing. But in the next year or two, when I do write the sequel to Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, you can expect a chapter on piracy and how to use it to your advantage. I hope this episode kind of helped you guys a little bit to kind of ease a lot of stress and pain out there, because I did post a little bit about this on Facebook and Twitter the other day or yesterday, and I got a lot of people like, it happened to me, and a lot of people were crying and devastated about it. And I wanted to put this episode out to kind of give some sort of guidance to filmmakers in regards to piracy and what we're dealing with as independents, and someone at the front lines, like literally yesterday, this happened, and I wanted to make it as fresh as possible for the tribe. So I hope this episode was helpful to you. Now, if you want to actually legally watch On the Corner of Ego and Desire, it's available on IFH TV, Indie Film Hustle TV, Amazon, Apple TV, Google Play, Tubi, Vudu, and YouTube as well, YouTube Movies. And on IFH TV, though, it is the only place you'll be able to get the over six hours of special features I created for On the Corner of Ego and Desire, including how I made it, a lot of the behind the scenes, our breakdown of the scriptment, and all sorts of deleted scenes and all that kind of cool stuff as well. You can get all of those links at egoanddesirefilm.com. Now, I do also want to ask everybody to do me a favor, if this is all at all possible. If you guys watch On the Corner of Ego and Desire, specifically on Amazon, or if you have an Amazon account and you watched it somewhere else and you love the movie and you like the movie, I need you to go and leave a review on Amazon. The reason why is, in the first 30 days, if I can get over 100 reviews, Amazon's algorithm will give the film a tremendous amount of love and start putting it out there more and more and more for other filmmakers, other people to see it. And I truly do want to, I do want as many filmmakers to see On the Corner of Ego and Desire as possible, because it is a love letter to independent filmmakers. It is an absolute love letter to the craziness that is being an independent filmmaker. So I need you to go to Amazon and leave a review. I got to get to that 100 within the first 30 days. So I really do appreciate you helping us out with that. And again, at egoanddesirefilm.com, there's a link that goes right to Amazon. And one other little thing. Apparently, we had a group of haters show up on the IMDb page of On the Corner of Ego and Desire. And before the movie ever even came out, I got blasted with a handful of bad reviews. Not bad, one bad review, but a lot of bad ratings. So it dropped the rating down of Ego and Desire on IMDb. So what I need you to do is, if you have an IMDb account, or you just even a free account or anything, just go there and just give us 9 stars, give us 10 stars if you like the film. Please leave us a rating. So the more ratings we have are positive, it's starting to go up. It was all the way down to like 2.0 or something like that. It was ridiculous. Haters are haters. What are you going to do? But as a lot of people have been going in there and leaving reviews and rating the film, we've gotten up to past 4.0 already. So we want to just try to keep that going as much as humanly possible. So as many of those as you can leave would be amazing. And I will put a link to that in the show notes at indiefilmhustle.com/pirates or at filmtrepreneur.com/033. Guys, thank you again so much for listening. I really, really appreciate all the messages and emails I've gotten and reviews I've read about On the Corner of Ego and Desire. I truly, truly appreciate it. It's really humbling that you guys love the film so much. And I really hope everybody in the tribe and then some gets to see this little film that I worked on with an amazing cast, amazing crew that I couldn't have done it without them. So thank you again for listening. As always, the power is in your hands. Be a filmtrepreneur. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Filmtrepreneur podcast at filmtrepreneur.com.